Hi, once again, welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's our Pets and Vets show this afternoon. Here to take your calls is Dr. Susan Ciculli of the Just Cats Veterinary Clinics in Guilderland and Saratoga, New York. Dr. Ciculli is the founder of the clinic, which provides specialized care for felines, a graduate of the University of Tennessee College of Veterinary Medicine. She's a member of the American Association of Feline Practitioners and the American Veterinary Medicine Association. She grew up on a farm in rural Albany raising sheep and calves. She now lives in Guilderland with two extremely well-cared-for cats. So nice to have you back, Susan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ray.
Number
to
call.
Nice to be back.
It's nice to have you here. Number to call is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also contact us via Facebook at WAMC's Facebook page. It's WAMC Radio, and you'll see a wall post there for Vox Pop. You can tweet your questions at WAMC Vox Pop. You can go to our website, wamc.org/VoxPop. You can comment right there. Or you can email voxpop@wamc.org. But we love your calls, 1-800-348-2551. And although Dr. Ciculli is, you know, very expert in cats, if you have a question about a dog or whatever, throw it in. I call that playing the wild card. And if she can't answer it, then you've stumped the band, and that's fun. Well, nice to have you here again.
Thanks, Ray.
So you were saying before we started the show that you have been doing some talks at your clinic, and one of them was about a really interesting, kind of sad, but not sad topic.
Yes, we just had it on Monday night, and we held it, and it was on hospice and
hospice and
palliative care for cats. Yes.
Wow.
And it somewhat got triggered because my own mom has been in hospice. She's doing quite well overall.
Yeah.
With it, but it has made me much more aware of what's out there on the human side, and wanted to offer more of that on the animal side.
Is this a common thing, or are you a trailblazer here?
A little bit of a trailblazer, although we're seeing more of it. I think it's becoming, again, as people are getting used to the hospice on the human side, recognizing the need for it on the animal side.
Mm. Fascinating. So. Our number to call, and by the way, the lines are loaded right now, but as soon as you hear somebody hang up, try to give us a call at 1-800-348-2551. Let's start it off with Grace in Sheffield, Massachusetts. Grace.
Hi.
Hi.
I took my two, we still call them kittens, to the vet yesterday. They're 3 years old. I mean, 2 years old. So it's their third shots for the rabies shots. And one cat is 13 and a half pounds and the other's 9 pounds. And the little one, Cougar, he really just gets thrown for a loop with these shots. And I understand it's like they both get the same dose, and like he really isn't tolerating it, and every year it gets worse.
Mm.
And so my question is, can they adjust it for the weight of the animal so that it doesn't, you know, I know they're going to feel a little bit bad, but
yeah,
like he didn't care if he lived or died last night.
Aww.
And this guy, he lives on Spirit.
That's tough to hear.
Yeah.
Yes.
They were abandoned next door.
Okay.
And this one chose me.
Ah.
And I picked the other one because the two of them got along.
Okay.
Yeah, the vaccines, especially the rabies, they are specific 1 milliliter, typically 1 milliliter dosages. You can't really adjust those up or down based on the weight of the animal. Although there are some newer vaccines that they're coming out with. Muriel has a PureVax rabies that is recombinant, and it's made from a canary vaccine, pox vaccine.
Huh.
And so it tends to be a little less antigenically stimulating. So it might be something that you could ask your vet to look into. Muriel is coming out in August with a 3-year version of that, which has been really well received. So, and sometimes giving Benadryl, sometimes giving dexamethasone, something to counteract the vaccine response might be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Grace, thank you very
Thanks.
Much. Let's go to Landon in Milford, Pennsylvania. Landon, you're up.
Hi, good afternoon, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Dr. Ciculli. I have a typical short hair calico, probably about 8-9 years old now. She pukes quite a bit. Now, I understand this could be related to a lot of things. It sometimes is just liquid, though, and it's every day at least once or twice a day, every single day. I've cut back on her diet. We've even switched the diet. I know about the different proteins they can become used to, and I also know that a digestive enzyme might be something I want to add to their diet. What would you suggest?
And has blood work been done to rule out?
No, nothing has been done with the vet. Obviously, that would be the
most important. That's probably the first, is just making sure that it's not a kidney problem or a thyroid problem. And if both of those are normal, then I think you're on the right track of adjusting the diet. Probiotics are very helpful. I really like canned food over the dry food. For cats, and vomiting in cats is, we've just come out recently in some articles of saying that really it's not normal. So that if the cat vomits a lot, something's wrong that needs to get addressed. So smart.
It's every single thing. And like I said, sometimes it's water, what appears to be water or bottle. I mean, there's nothing in it. It almost seems like something like she just has a problem eating or something. She does eat dry food, as you mentioned. We could try the softer food. We just wanted to protect her teeth. That was the main concern, but if you feel that might help.
Yeah, the theories now on the teeth are is if the canned food has a really high protein level, it was more the carbohydrates in the canned food that they were concerned about. So if they're getting good protein in that canned food, then canned usually is sufficient. Maybe offering a couple of dental treats, like TD or a food specifically for that. But I have shifted. Actually, my cats are now on canned only food.
Interesting.
Is there any type of dental snack that tastes or smells like cheese? We don't give her cheese, but she's always right there when we have cheese, regardless of what kind.
Cats like cheese? I never knew.
Cats sometimes like dairy products. Yeah.
We don't give it to her because we know that's probably not a good idea, but she's right there at attention as soon as there's cheese in the room.
Yeah.
No. Okay, we'll take her to the vet.
Okay. Good luck.
Obviously. Thank you for your help.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Landon. We appreciate the call from Pennsylvania, especially. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. Not that I don't appreciate calls from New York or Massachusetts or Connecticut, but it's always nice to hear from our one transmitter in Pennsylvania. Mike in Fort Ann. Mike.
Hello. I have a 13-year-old female cat, and it's been to the vet four times now for symptoms of sneezing and hacking. It's not constant, and at the first couple weeks, it was productive. It would have a very yellow, mucousy snot that was coming up. That went away. They prescribed many different things. We went in for a chest x-ray. They found sacs around her heart and then prescribed her heart medication. That didn't do anything. Originally, they gave her a shot because they thought it might be allergies. That didn't do anything. They prescribed an anti-inflammatory, didn't do anything, and then recently I got an antibiotic for the upper respiratory infection. We're going on a little over a month now, and it's getting quite expensive, and I'm just trying to figure out if there's another route I should be looking at, or if this, if you've heard of anything like this before.
Yes, it is something we do commonly see, even in our practice, and it is something that if we have ruled out the obvious, allergies, infectious, viral, it does sometimes require a lot more workup with the x-rays, even skull x-rays. We've even anesthetized and done a biopsy of the nasal area. Because all of those can cause this. Did she do sneezing prior to this? Was that something?
Not like this. I mean, these are like, she'll do about 20 rapid-fire sneezes right in a row that's not productive.
Okay.
And then it's more of like a hacking that I think is more concerned, because I think she's sneezing from the hacking, because she'll hack stuff up and then it'll start these sneezing fits. But nothing's coming out. Like, she's not producing anything. So I really don't know how to even diagnose it, really.
And that we do even go to the point of CAT scans, MRIs, to be able to truly visualize up in that nasal cavity. I know expense is always a concern when you're trying to do diagnostics, but when it gets to a point where it's not responding to the typical treatments, then that's usually what's indicated.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Can a cat get a sinus infection?
They can. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Sounds
and
then to me
long-term antibiotics are indicated.
An unproductive sneeze Exactly. And always wanting to sneeze.
Yeah.
Sounds like a familiar case. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. We're joined today by Dr. Susan Sekuli of the Just Cats Veterinary Clinics in Guilderland and Saratoga. And we love hearing from you. Zach, let's take a break here. And back to the phones we shall go at 1-800-348-2551.
Support for WAMC comes from Ye Olde Warwick Bookshop, Warwick, New York, a Hudson River Valley bookseller specializing in new and vintage books, plus collectibles and curiosities, open 7 days a week. YeOldWarwickBookshop.com. The Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, protecting New York's historic buildings, districts, and landscapes since 1974, PreserveNYS.org. SPAC, presenting New York City Ballet, featuring the Ballet Gala, a tribute to Great Britain, July 12th, with SPAC Junior Committee, hosting the lawn party, fireworks, after-party dancing, and more. This year, Fidelity sponsors Kids on the Lawn, SPAC.org. The Montessori School of the Berkshires, working to foster independence in an experimental learning environment, offering 8 weeks of summer programs for ages 3 through 12, BerkshireMontessori.org. And Simpson & Vail Tees, since 1929, offering by mail over 300 teas from China, India, Nepal, and beyond, now offering herbal benefits teas such as Lemon Tonsil Tamer and Moonlight Snooze. SimpsonAndVailTees.com for online catalog.
Vox Pop on WAMC, 1-800-348-2551 is the number. You can email us, voxpop@wamc.org, if you wish. Joined today by Dr. Susan Sekuli. And back to the phones we go on this Pets and Vets. Sarah in Hinsdale, is it?
Yes.
Hi, you're on.
Hi, thank you. So I also have about a 15- or 16-year-old cat, and I know one of the issues he has is gum disease, or there's some issues with the gums for sure, and it's, as you know, very price, you know, it's cost prohibitive for me right now. Is there anything I can do for him that would give him some relief?
Has he stopped eating because of his teeth? Are you noticing a problem?
No, he doesn't. He's got some other issues, but it seems like I wanted to rule out that too. He does eat, and he seems to be fine, but this, I don't know, there's a personality shift, and then when I got him checked out, she did say that it looked pretty bad.
As far as his teeth?
Yeah, looking like the black and the tartar, all that.
Yeah.
I feel bad, but I just can't. I don't know. I've never spent a lot of money on our cats, and I have a hard time. Like, I want to see him have some relief, but I'm not even sure that's it.
Yes, I agree. So that's why I was questioning, because sometimes it looks like it's a teeth problem, but it may be something else more systemically. I remember going to one lecture at the feline practitioners, and the speaker said, teeth look bad, but they typically won't stop your cat from eating unless it's a true big abscess. So most times, if it's a gradual decrease in the eating, it's probably more of a systemic problem, with something going on, maybe his kidneys, something else. And it's tough. Other than really anesthetizing to take care of those teeth, you really can't brush them or do a lot of work on them without that anesthesia. So,
yeah, I'm sure.
but at 15, he's done good. You've done a great job with him for living to 15. So, you know, be real proud of where he is and what he's doing. So.
Oh, he's a good guy, and he's got a thyroid problem, and we just changed his meds too. And so we're dealing with changing them back because we think that might be the issue. But I just wanted to rule this out too, because I remember looking in that mouth, and I was like, oh my God, that is not a good looking mouth. But I guess it'd be normal.
Yeah, there are some cats, you know, we see some that they live their whole lives with some tartar on their teeth, and you know, it's that's what they'll work with. So you're doing great.
Oh, thanks. Okay, cool. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Sarah. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. We're joined by Dr. Susan Sekuli today. Let's go to Ann in Averill Park. Ann.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Dr. Cipulli.
You're welcome.
I have an elderly cat, and he is in superior condition, according to the vet, as far as his weight and his agility. And he's a very smart cat and very, very sensitive in terms of his taste, in terms of what he'll eat. I know that's surprising. But,
not surprising at all.
The issue I'm having is getting him to take medication when we need to, which is not often, but right now he's, because he's aging, he's around 14, he needs some help as far as probably arthritis support, and he also is showing signs of, I think it's called creatine levels increasing, so they've recommended to put him on a low protein diet, and he won't eat any of the prescription food. So I'm wondering how dangerous is it, I guess, to continue to feed him what I've been feeding him, which is we feed him canned tuna that's based in water and also some of the Spot Stew by Halo.
Okay. I like the Spot Stew. I'm not a real big fan of just the canned tuna
Why?
By itself. I think it has a lot of mercury and the same reasons they recommend it not so frequently on the human side.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it is a good protein source, so I agree. I actually use baby food a lot, the turkey and chicken.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, canned chicken, that works well. I think what you end up running into is you've got to get him to eat something. And yes, the ideal would be a prescription diet, but if he's not, then yes, look for the best quality protein food you can feed him. So it's not as much that he can be on a low protein, but it's got to be a good digestible protein.
Okay.
Yeah, and so, as far as the dry food, I guess I was wondering, where do I find the information on that protein level, and how do I interpret it when I find it on the nutrition piece?
That's a good question. I know there's a website that we use a lot. It's called catinfo.org, and it's written by a veterinarian who has looked through all of the commercially available diets and broken them down into the different proteins, carbohydrates, fats, et cetera.
Okay.
So that might be
okay.
helpful.
Okay. So as far as the arthritis and getting him to take some supplements for that, I've tried putting it in the half and half little mounts that I give him, and he just can taste it and he won't eat it.
Yeah, there are some liquids now that are out there, so maybe check with your veterinarian, see what other options there are. We will use Adequin, which is an injectable that you would give as a shot once a week. So check with your vet. I'm sure there's other options. We have the same problem with some cats that just really won't eat the Cosequin or the glucosamines.
Okay.
Okay.
Good
Thank
luck.
You so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Ann. Are you suggesting then that the person at home would be able to give their cats injections?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, the cat's going to go for that?
The cats love it.
You're
not
kidding
really,
me.
But they're not as averse as you would think. Behind the shoulders.
Really?
We have lots of diabetic cats, so we show them how to give the insulin on a twice-a-day basis. So.
Well, a person, a kid, has the capability of reasoning and understanding, but a cat...
Cats don't seem to mind it too bad.
Amazing. The things I learned. Katie in Sullivan County. Katie, you're on.
Good afternoon, folks.
Hello.
You may not really be able to answer this, but at least give me some sympathy here. I'm in Sullivan County, and a lot of this problem seems to be caused, I believe, by our summer influx of visitors, whereas some of these camps will open, there's overflows of garbage, they attract feral or people leaving cats unattended, however it may be. But here we're at the reverse time of year when they're opening up the camps. People will tend to, I think they're using rat poisonings or whatever the heck it is, to maybe it's for rats or mice, and maybe it's even for the cats that they're finding around their properties. But I am a person that lives here full year, and unfortunately, because I love animals, or fortunately, a lot of them will end up coming attracted to my yard, and there's not much I can do for them if there's some spare food or whatever. But what happens is these cats, I guess, encounter the poison somehow at these other folks' homes. and somehow maybe end up back in my yard looking, and I've seen some animals die from horrible deaths. And being that they're not my animals, I keep mine indoors. But these other cats that come around, they may be eating my dog food. Some of them have found ways into my house and laid litters in my garage and crazy things I won't even bother with. But here's the thing. When I see a cat that's suffering like this, I know it must be from some poison. Is there any antidote I can try and do short of, I can't bring them to a vet. I don't own them. I don't have the money for it. And it's just so heartbreaking if you've ever seen an animal die from one of these poisons. It's horrible death.
Yeah, yeah. It is. It depends on which rat poisoning. Most of them are anticoagulants. So vitamin K is a lot of times a treatment. You know what I would try to do is maybe reach out to your shelter, your local Humane Society, and see if they have.
They say they don't have a budget for any animals to place them, help them, or anything. In fact, they admonished me. They said, well, if you feed them or even allow them in your yard, as if one could prevent that, they said they become your cats. That's what I was told, and it's pretty shameful. But, you know, so there doesn't seem to be much help there. But I thought, well, if there's something I can put around, if they come to my yard and they're that sick, if there's like a charcoal kind of thing, you know, you can give that to people or something.
Now I'd probably try to address the rat source. Poisoning is being placed and see if you can put it in places that the cats can't get to.
Katie, thanks a lot for the call. Isn't that a crime, though?
Yeah.
Would it be a crime to...
I don't know the logistics, you know, of the legal system, but for sure it puts those cats in a tough predicament because they're probably then eating the rats that are poisoned.
A good point. Let's go to Lauren in Saratoga. Lauren, you're on.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I just have a quick question. I have these three cats. They range from 16 to 19, and they're getting pretty old. And I'm curious, what signs should I be looking for that they're telling me, Mom, I'm ready?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah.
It is, and that's actually what we discussed a lot. It became a roundtable on our talk on Monday night, and we all sort of shared stories on what it was that finally cued each of us in to say, okay, it's not. Probably the hiding, the interacting with you that's just off. It may just give you subtle signs. Cats are out in the wild. They're supposed to hide their symptoms, so they are not supposed to show they're sick or injured or not feeling well. So it is you picking up on those subtle things.
Right, like frequent urination. Some of them haven't been making it. They've been starting to go to the bathroom upstairs, well, not in their litter boxes, vomiting more frequently, a little bit of weight loss, a little slower pace. And it's hard because they just all happen to be the same age. Yeah. And if we bring them all to our vet at the same time saying, well, they're all sick and ill and they all need to be put down, which would just be heartbreaking and to have to do it all at once. But then again, I don't want to keep them alive longer than they need to be. But
I think what we were noticing with the hospice situation that we're trying to talk about is that just because they get diagnosed with chronic renal failure, just because they have some significant arthritis, it doesn't mean that it's time that they then have to be put to sleep. Is there a point where you can just limit their environment, you know, bring the litter box upstairs so then they are just in one area? And there are so other small things that you could be doing that just would help their quality of life, but not reach a point of, oh, now it's time.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you so much
You're
for your
welcome.
Time.
You're welcome.
Have a great
care.
Day.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. We're joined today on this Pets and Vets by Dr. Susan Ciculli and Barbara in Albany. Barbara, you're on.
Hi.
Hi, Barbara.
I have an Abyssinian cat, and I was wondering, she's wonderful. I mean, she was a week old. She learned how to, or here for a week, she learned how to take the screens out of the windows, make a break for it.
Smart
she's
cat.
Very active, as they tend to be.
Yes.
And continues to be thin as a noodle. And I want to make sure, I was told when I got her that, you know, you used to have a Honda, now you have a Ferrari, so your fuel needs are going to change.
That's a good way of phrasing
it. She eats like a horse. It's amazing.
Yes.
And I was wondering about the best kind of canned food.
Okay. And I think there's lots of choices out there. That's why there's lots of canned cat foods. You're looking for one with that higher protein level. I had an Abyssinian myself, and so I understand they are active cats. So
they're a special breed.
They sure are. They're wonderful.
Yeah.
But yes, they definitely require more frequent meals and smaller amounts.
Okay.
That's what I had found for mine, and that seemed to satisfy him a lot more.
Okay, I will try that.
What food do you have him on now?
I'm using, it's called BFF.
Oh, yes, yep.
Is that good?
Yep, yep,
okay.
That's a good one. Yeah, definitely.
And wellness sometimes.
And the wellness also.
I vary it because she seems to get tired of one and then want something else.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. I'm hesitant to just put out one or two brands because there's a lot out there that are really good, and I don't want to leave any out that might be that I might miss.
Are there any that are really bad? I don't want brand
the
names.
Generic ones. The store.
Okay, the store ones. But what about some of the big names that you see in all the stores?
They've come around. It's sort of like the McDonald's has changed to adjust to what is healthier for us with salads. So have Fancy Feast and Frisky's.
And so some of the other ones.
Some of those are actually doing quite well.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Barbara, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Bye now. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. On a Pets and Vets Vox Pop, 1-800-348-2551. Bernadette in New Paltz. Bernadette.
Yeah, I can barely hear you.
Hello, can you hear me?
Okay, that's better.
Okay.
I didn't have a question. I have a comment.
Okay.
That cheese has fluoride in it. It's a source of fluoride. So I'm thinking it would probably be good for the cat's teeth if you gave them cheese, especially at nighttime.
Cheese.
Yeah.
But you're not a big cheese fan for cats?
Well, the dairy can sometimes cause some concerns. I've seen vomiting and diarrhea with it. And I guess I'd have to look. I'm talking off the top of my head, but I don't know if fluoride for cats is as critical as it is for people. So that's a good question that I would have to pursue.
Well, homework for next time.
That's it.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks,
thank
Bernadette.
You.
Appreciate the call. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Well, I see cans of cat food that have cheese bits in them all the time.
Oh, so absolutely. Cats love cheese.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I've had cats all my life, and I don't think I've ever fed one cheese.
Oh, my sister's older cat that had kidney failure, that was the only thing she would eat is canned or smoked Gouda.
Really?
Yeah.
You're kidding me. Was that what caused the kidney failure?
No, this was after she got kidney failure, and we had to entice her to eat something. That's what she would eat.
Wow.
So it was protein, so
let's
it
go to
at
Juan.
Least helped.
Let's go to Juan in Westfield. Juan, you're on.
Yes, hi. I have a quick question. My girlfriend has a cat. She's 20 years old, and when we feed her Friskies and the shreds, and she pukes it all up. Is that normal because she's 20 years old?
Probably not. So then I would
probably
experiment
okay.
with the foods. That's great, though, at 20. You guys are doing all the
it's
right
a heck
things.
Of a run.
That's
yeah.
super. Really good.
Yeah.
But even try cooking up like your regular, just a piece of chicken and try home-cooked foods. I'm amazed.
Regular home-cooked?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hamburger I've seen or turkey. I really see the older cats liking that. I think the consistency, they don't smell as well, too, so you do have to watch it. Sometimes you have to warm it up. They don't like it when it gets a little colder.
Yeah.
So those senses tend to go. Is it dry food, too, that she's on?
No, we don't give her any dry food anymore because she's on canned. But when we give her pate food, or the pate, she can eat that, and then she keeps it down.
Okay.
So I don't know. That's perfect. Okay,
that's
thank
great.
You so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot.
Okay,
Rhett in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. You're on.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Hi, Rhett.
I am wondering whether I am a butcher and have access to, abundant meat scraps from the butcher shop. Is there anything wrong with just letting that be the sole diet of our cat, of which they are outside cats? They stay out, and I guess they stick around because they're being fed, and the kids coddle them and spend some time with them. But just because of budget constraints in my life, that's what I have been feeding, and they seem to be doing fine.
Yes, I think that's great. I there are many of my clients actually that have switched to either a raw diet or a home-cooked meals, and I think that's wonderful because you know exactly what's in that diet. You may need to supplement, though, with some vitamin minerals, and online you can order Standard Process is a website you could go on, and that has some really nice vitamin supplements. So you do want to add a little of that to their diet.
I see.
But that's great.
Yes. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot. And another call from Pennsylvania. Very nice. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Dr. Susan Ciculli is here. It is our Pets and Vets edition for the month of June. And we'll be back with a lightning round coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham providing individual career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, resume, and cover letter writing. CareersInTransitionLLC.com. The Nature Conservancy's Adirondack Chapter, working to preserve freshwater resources that flow from the Adirondacks to New York's urban centers. nature.org/Adirondacks. Shakespeare & Company, celebrating Shakespeare's 450th with works by and about Shakespeare, including A Midsummer Night's Dream, Julius Caesar, Shakespeare's Will, and the complete works of William Shakespeare, abridged, shakespeare.org. Eagle Hill School, Hardwick, Massachusetts, a college prep boarding and day school for students in grades 8 through 12 with learning disabilities, dyslexia, ADD, and ADHD, ehs1.org. And Berkshire Co-op Market, Great Barrington, offering organic and local groceries, working to build a healthy and sustainable community. Berkshire.coop.
Vox Pop on WAMC Pets and Vets. Dr. Susan Ciculli is here, Ray Graff in the host chair, and let's go back to the phones. John in Vermont. John.
Yes, ma'am. Sir. Yes, I have a 4-year-old female tiger cat that I adopted a year ago, and she was given a physical down near Massachusetts and shortly thereafter. And they said that she had Giardia. She was giving her any shot she needed and such, so she was fine. So I was had to give her a powder for 10 days, a package of powder, and then I brought her back shortly thereafter. And they said she still had it and wanted to give her some more stronger stuff. Right after that, I returned to Vermont, and I had her checked by a vet up here. And rather than look at a stool sample like they did down there, here, the vet had like it was like a Q-tip type thing and took a sample of whatever through her rear end and then looked under a microscope and said she didn't have it. But continually she's had since I've had her. It's been like a year since that now. Her stools are always they're kind of wet. She doesn't have like diarrhea and all, but they're always kind of wet. And on should I have take her back to a vet and have a stool sample again. She never throws up. She eats like a horse, so on and so forth. But that's the only thing that's consistent, that stool, the wet stool samples.
So I'm assuming they treated because she is clinical with that Giardia. So Giardia can be present and either cause a problem or be sort of there and show up.
Uh-huh.
So when she was on the medication, did her stools improve?
I don't recall. I don't think there are any changes. Basically, they're always kind of a light color, but they are you know they're always wet.
Okay, so it might be worthwhile for me as maybe to suggest probiotics or something else to alter her intestinal tract a little bit and adjust it that way, and maybe even a diet change. I see Giardia similar. I know it can cause some severe disease, but I see it similar to Heliobacter with people where they incriminate it in gastric ulcers, but is it the cause? So is the Giardia cause in the diarrhea, or is it a happens to be there.
Yeah, and it isn't. It's the stools are always formed. They're not really a diarrhea. She's never had diarrhea.
Okay, but they're just looser.
Yeah, they seem to be just. They're just kind of like just wet covered, I guess, so to speak. But she's like a horse. I was saying, there's no, never diarrhea.
Okay. So maybe try some probiotics. That's something that you can get over the counter or ask your veterinarian. They should have.
Are they the same things like enzyme supplements? Somebody had mentioned that to me that I said the same thing as a probiotic.
Yeah, probiotics and digestive enzymes are two different things.
I see. So I would ask.
So you would ask for probiotics.
I would ask for through a vet the probiotics.
Yes.
I see. Thank you very much, ma'am.
You're welcome. Thanks.
John, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Jean in Poughkeepsie. Jean, you're on.
Hi, this is Jean in Poughkeepsie. I have a question for the doctor about my long-haired dachshunds. I have a pair, a male and a female, miniature long-haired dachshunds that we adopted from the SPCA. They're about, I would say they're about 2.5 years old. We got them when they were about 6 months. A male and a female, they appear to be a brother and sister. And they seem to have a submission thing where whenever you go to pet them, particularly the male, when you go to pet him, he'll kind of piddle. And we just can't, we've tried ignoring him and just approaching him slowly, but they're friendly little guys. And but we just don't know if that's something that they're going to grow out of. Or is there something we can do to encourage it?
I think so, and you're really testing me, right? You really did this.
Uh-huh. I'm glad you got a dog question. This is great. Thank you.
So I do, back in my memory, I do remember that is a behavioral portion of what you're experiencing for them. So it is an ability to pet them without them getting excited. So the goal would be to not even acknowledge them when you see them. Are they doing it when someone first gets there, or when somebody greets them? Is that
generally when someone greets them, and particularly if it's somebody they really like. They love my sister-in-law. They're crazy about Sandy. So whenever she comes, they they get all excited, and the female will squat right there and pee.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So her challenge is to not make a big deal. Toward them for a period of time, and it should resolve. It takes a little resolve on your the human side not to get too excited about them, but it will help.
Okay.
Good luck with them. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
And thank you for the dog question. You see, Doc? You see?
It's like riding a bike, huh?
There you go. Let's go to Mark in New Paltz. Mark, you're on.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I have a female 40 adult, probably about 8 years old. She's a rescue kitty, and she was way overfed in the rescue. And I got her down in the past 3 years from 22.5 pounds to about 12.5.
Good job.
Probably have another pound to go. But she is constantly on the search for food. I feed her 4 times a day, the correct caloric intake for her weight, because we're just really tailing off on the weight loss. But she's constantly in a psychic, dilemma that she feels like she needs food, or she has food insecurity issues. Is there anything I can do more than this to help her? Because it seems to be the only thing left over from when she was abused.
Yeah, that is. I agree. I think they do have a little bit of a psychological, when is my next meal? So they have to feel a little more fulfilled. I have found even just playing with her when she seems like she's hungry, maybe diverting that attention to someplace else. I've even had some cats like fruit.
What?
Melon and
no
some of
way.
Those that are not very filling
and
for
that's
them.
Okay to
and
feed
that's
a cat?
Okay, sure.
Wow.
Green beans. I had a couple of clients that will do that.
She gets green beans every meal.
Does she? Okay, so you do that already.
So that we could bulk up her food so she was getting more quantity but not.
Exactly. Oh, you're doing the right things. Yeah. No, okay, congratulations. So that's great.
Well, she was really huge when I got her, and I was like, "We got to lose weight." But she's doing real well, and she's not like in physical distress. She's obviously fed enough, but she walks from everywhere that there might have been a bowl in the past. She's looking there. Okay, I'll try to distract her. I've got a lot of games for her, so we'll try that.
Great,
thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
So I'm still trying to wrap my head around a cat eating melons. Is there?
They love it.
Is there a fruit that cat can't eat?
Hmm. I don't think so.
Because, you know, I'm going to go home and try this. You know, have a banana.
There are many fruits that cats won't eat, but yes, I don't think there's one that they're poisonous to.
Okay, good. You know what? If you're making a joke just to see me feed a fruit to a cat, then I'm going to be...
Melons have been definitely, you could ask many of our clients.
That's amazing.
They love them.
I'll be darned. Kevin in Albany. Kevin, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a 4-year-old American Shorthair. And when I got him from PetSmart, he already had all of his shots. And I'm moving, and every time I move or I'm looking for another apartment, the landlord's ask, is he up to date on all of his shots? So I guess my question is, you know, how often do I need to get these shots updated? And also, I might be moving to New Jersey. Are there completely different regulations once I cross state lines, and what does that entail?
Okay.
Oh,
great.
Good questions. Very good. So my recommendations, I'm somewhat of a minimalist on my vaccinations. I vaccinate cats as a kitten, and then when they're a year of age, I vaccinate again, and that distemper then becomes, it's an upper respiratory distemper vaccine, that becomes good for 3 years. So every 3 years until they're probably 8 to 10 years of age, I'll vaccinate. And then there's a rabies that you give at 1 year of age, and then we will now have the option of doing that one also every 3 years. I don't know the requirements. I think in New Jersey are actually less than New York. New York actually requires rabies vaccines. I'm not sure what the rules are for New Jersey. But I think it would be helpful for you just before the move just to make sure that your cat is healthy and able to handle the move, because if you notice some problems after you move, you don't know if they started prior to the move or triggered by the move.
Okay.
So I think it would be helpful for you to have her checked out.
Okay. All right.
All
Thank
right.
you.
You're welcome.
Good luck with the move, Kevin.
Thank
1-800-348-2551. Leslie in Schenectady. Leslie, you're on with Dr. Susan Ciculli.
Hi, doctor. I've been to your office several times for this problem that I'm going to ask you about. But sometimes I get to work in Gilderland, and I just see that place, and I love it. It's such a beautiful spot for cats and people.
Thank you.
But anyway, I have two cats. One, they're 15 years old. They're from the same litter. One's a long-haired, one's a short hair. They're both black. And they are very territorial. The one, the long-haired one, he just doesn't cover up his litter. He just doesn't cover up his, when he goes, he doesn't cover it up. So over the years, I guess the short-haired cat, Toofy, he decided not to use the litter box anymore, and I don't blame him because it's disgusting. And the long-haired one has very soft stools. I've tried everything. I've had all the tests done, and nothing works, although I did just try a new food, and it seems like it's dry food, but it works. It seems like it's working better for him. But and he also is one that vomits clear stuff and cries before he does that. But this thing with the territory, the one cat will not go in a litter box, and so he goes on the rug all the time.
Oh,
or the one who's the long-haired one, he'll decide just to go wherever he wants once in a while, and I just can't keep up with this. It's hours of cleaning up after these little beasts.
Yeah.
They're my babies.
Oh, dear. Yes. Yeah. This may require more than this radio station.
Yeah, we only have about 8 minutes, so good luck.
Really?
Well, how many litter boxes do you have? That would be my
first suggestion. Well, I have three, and now I put newspaper all over in the basement because the one cat just seems to want to go all over the place.
Dear.
He marks his territory, and I think he does it right. He's meowing at me right now. I think he does it because he doesn't want the other cat to come down there.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And I put a litter box for the other one upstairs in a separate place, and he's not gone in it. I don't know what's going on. And I got the pheromones from your office for months and months, and they're just not doing anything.
Is there a way you could separate them, at least initially, into two different rooms and try that for a while?
Two
different areas?
Yeah, they go outside also. So, and I think one of them, because he just won't stay inside because of the long-haired one, he stays outside, and I think he's getting arthritis because of the cold. I feel so badly for him, and I love him.
Yeah. Yeah, my suggestion might be maybe we talk about splitting them up and giving them each their own little space. That might be helpful. That's what I find sometimes when you can't have them get along great. I love Jackson Galaxy of my cat from hell on the Animal Planet, and he's very big into, okay, if we're starting to have some behavioral problems, split them up for a while. Let's figure out how they can normally act and react.
Okay.
So, but please call the office, and we can discuss it further, okay?
Okay, thank you
great.
So much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Leslie. Are there just situations where there are two cats that will not get along,
yes,
and the only way to do it is to give one away?
Exactly. Yes, we have, and it happens. And, you know, they're better in their own space sometimes.
Yeah.
That's what they'd prefer.
All right, let's go to Jody in Vernon, New Jersey. Jody, you're on with Dr. Susan Ciculli.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. My little kitty has stomatitis.
Okay.
And when her gums get really red, then I have to take her in. And she's had three treatments so far, cortisone shots. And the doctor said that if she continues to get the cortisone shots too quick, she could become a diabetic. Is there anything else that we can do for her? We had her teeth cleaned, and that didn't seem to help. But it just seems like she, you know, every few weeks she gets her gums hurt and she stops eating.
How old is she?
She's about two years old.
2 years. And she's had this since a kitten, or this
is
just
I adopted
developed?
Her from the pound, and I guess no one knew, no one told me, but when I saw she got disinterested in eating, I said, oh, my goodness, her gums are all red. So we took her to the vet, and they said, oh, that's stomatitis. We'll give her a cortisone shot. We see it all the time. And that did the trick. That did the trick. It usually 6 to 8 weeks. And this last time, she lasted a lot longer because after we got her teeth clean, we got this natural product called Vet's Life. It's an oral care gel, and we sprayed it in her mouth, and it seemed to, you know, help it quite a bit.
Yeah.
So, but this vet gave us a TDC. It's periodontal and joint health for dogs and cats, so we're going to start with that.
Okay.
But said not to give it to her until 2 weeks. Because the cortisone has to take effect.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, I agree with your veterinarian. The concern is with those cortisone shots of inducing some type of diabetes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, if this is something that progresses, extraction of the teeth is the recommended
treatment.
Well,
yes, the one vet did suggest that.
Yeah.
However, the other vet said if we take all the teeth out, there's no guarantee that this would go away.
There isn't, but a vast majority. It is our treatment of choice now.
Yeah.
For any cats that we see with this stomatitis, glossitis.
Yes.
So I would, based on what you're describing, you know, you'd have to verify it with your vet, but
yes.
I think you should follow that advice of extractions.
Okay.
So if we take, and now if she has a compromise. Autoimmune disease, would any of the shots, like you said, you're minimalist on the shots, hurt her, compromise her immune system?
As far as the vaccines?
Yeah.
If you can delay those for a period of time while you're adjusting to what's or addressing what's going on with the mouth, I would probably try that.
All right, Jody.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank
Thanks,
you very
good
much.
Good luck.
Bye now. Let's go to Katie in Kinderhook. Katie, you have about a minute.
Okay, I'll try and make it quick.
Okay.
I have a cat who is 5 years old, and he's always been in very good health. And but for a few years, he actually will vomit about every other week right after he eats. And I'm wondering if you can, any thoughts on what causes that and any long-term health effects that could have on him.
Okay.
Yes. Again, I would adjust diet. I would still look at that as the major factor. That is the first thing I always start. And if you can't find one, keep trying. Sometimes it takes five foods to make it work.
Okay.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Katie. All right. So the password for today is clearly vomit. And we've had a lot of calls about vomit today. And I guess that's sort of typical for a Vox Pop Pets and Vets. Dr. Susan Ciculli, how do people get in touch with you?
At Just Cats Veterinary Clinic.
You guys have a website?
We do have a website, absolutely. It's justcatsvet.com.
Justcatsvet.com.
Yeah.
So you have two locations, one in Gilderland, one in Saratoga.
Yes, and I just opened the one in Saratoga almost a year ago today, July 8th.
Very exciting. We'll,
yes.
we'll put it in the script next time, and we'll remember. Well, awfully nice to have you here.
Thank you so much, Ray.
Thanks to everybody who called in. Support comes from Kent Hicks Construction, West Chesterfield, Massachusetts, specializing in energy-efficient, net-zero, passive house home building, deep energy retrofits, and historical restorations, serving Western Massachusetts, KentHicksConstruction.com. Quality Foreign Car Care, Ballston Spa, New York, specializing in European car sales and service for over 20 years, QFCC.com. Juan Dharma Meditation and Retreat Center near Hudson, hosting an Independence Day weekend meditation retreat for adults and children, July 3rd through 6th, JuanDharmaCenter.org. And Reed Media, supporting Berkshire Country Day School, Stockbridge, Massachusetts, an independent school serving students in preschool through grades 9 since 1946, BerkshireCountryDay.org. Well, thanks again to everybody who called in. Sorry if you didn't make it through. Them's the breaks, as they say. And thanks to Zach Malloy at the controls. Thanks to Colleen O'Connell, who answered the calls. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Make sure you take WAMC with you. Download our new mobile app for streaming audio, headlines, podcasts, and more. Just go to the iTunes or Google Play App Store, search WAMC, and install. Tomorrow on the show, whoo doggy, it's gardening. So get out your shovels and join us tomorrow.